Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. Today I'm pleased to have as my guest Marilyn Kramer, who is a medical intuitive, and we will be discussing what medical intuition is, how it can be used, and the healing power of love. I'm pleased to find out that Marilyn is here in Georgia, not too far from Dunwoody and in Woodstock. I didn't know that when I booked her on the show. And I'm going to invite her to do noetic science as well. We have a long history here at Millennium Healthcare and Plastico Surgery Center of using medical intuition. I myself have been a medical intuitive for about 15 years, and I use it all the time in my surgical work, especially to determine where things are, which is actually very useful in surgery as well, because sometimes we can't find things real well without using intuition. Welcome, Marilyn. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
That's great. Well, Marilyn, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience, a little bit about your personal background and your website and what your business is currently?
Okay. Well, my business is Light Healer, LLC, and my website is lighthealer.net. And I don't even know where to begin, but I can tell you, you know, that I do a number of different healing modalities, and I've been in, have had an alternative healing practice for the last 16 years, and I do Reiki. That's what I started with, and somatic mm-hmm. healing. I'm a clinical and alchemical hypnotherapist, thought field therapist, and a mental coach. And my medical intuitive abilities developed when I started doing Reiki. I just had the ability to see inside the body and inside organs, and I can mm-hmm. telepath with organs to get more information, you know, about what, you know, to help me find the root cause of a person's illness or disease. And I usually have pretty severe cases that come to me, you know, where they've been to many different doctors, either had had many different tests, either had no diagnosis or a wrong diagnosis, and they come to me as a last resort, or there are doctors that refer their patients to me as well to figure out what's wrong with them so they can do the right testing. So that's become my specialty, so to speak. And, you know, when I was a child, I grew up at a horse farm, and my grandfather had orchards and fields of herbs, and as well as the horses. And I spent a lot of time outside, and I was just able to see things, even when I was a little girl, that other people couldn't see. For example, I could see the energy field around plants and trees, and I understood what animals were thinking. And mm-hmm. when I started working in my alternative healing practice, my abilities grew. So it was during Reiki sessions that I was able to see inside the body and receive information from my client's body. And I would also receive visions of the root cause of a person's illness, disease, or mental anguish, such as anxiety or depression. And as time progressed, doctors just found out about my abilities around the greater mm-hmm. Atlanta area and through their patients. And after talking to me, they began sending their most difficult cases to me to find the root cause of their patient's illness. There are times that, you know, again, that doctors test for many things, but they don't test for everything, like Lyme disease. Most doctors don't mm-hmm. even think to test for Lyme disease, and I've had a number right. of patients, especially, or clients, I'm sorry, recently that I saw Lyme disease in their body, had them go to a Lyme mm-hmm. literate MD, and that's what they were diagnosed with.
Well, we see a lot of patients that are referred here from medical intuitives, actually all over the world. I wrote the book called The Naked Truth About Breast Implants, and breast implant problems, including chemical toxicity and biotoxicity from mold, both affect the immune system, and they get a lot of mycoplasma, Lyme's, other intracellular infections, And the medical intuitives actually see that the root cause is the immune problems caused by the breast implants, because Lyme doctors are finding out that if you don't remove the breast implants, they can't really get control of the disease because of the biofilm. They even think sometimes the bacteria could be in the biofilm around the implant. So I get a lot of medical intuitives finding out for the patient and their doctors that the root problem is really the breast implants. I mean, it's causing all these co-infections. They can have parasites. Everybody has yeast with silicone toxicity, and most people have mold with biotoxicity, and parasites, viruses, HHV6, a lot of things. So I have patients coming here from all over the world who have massive infections or deathly ill or in wheelchairs with misdiagnosis of lupus and MS together, which of course never occur together, and treat all of that. We treat all the co-infections and do the surgery, and I've been on Monsters Inside Me twice with mold and breast implants, and you know, basically have just I think my medical intuitive abilities occurred. Well, I was born with them, but I developed the disease in my own breasts when 30 grams of silicone leaked out. And without being a medical intuitive, I would have never figured out that it was a toxic chemical problem.
Wow. Yeah.
So look for breast implants. You know, like they can be the source of the real source of the problem, because you know everybody's exposed to Lyme's. You know, or other intracellular infections, but our immune system keeps it at bay. You know, it's kind of like yeast. If 100% of women, they tested 3,000 women with silicone toxicity, and 3,000 had yeast. And if you test AIDS patients, all of them have yeast, you see. So the yeast is kind of like it's not the cause of the disease. The cause of the disease is the immune problem. You know, it's just everybody's going to get yeast.
Yeah.
But you have to treat it. Getting out the implants alone won't do it. You actually have to treat all the co-infections. So that's a lot of the chronic illnesses that we see. So keep that in mind.
Definitely.
The root cause is still the breast implants, no matter how you look at it. So I had a similar thing with when I was doing, I wasn't doing Reiki per se, but I was doing a healing method similar to Reiki, just that I was doing on my own. I didn't really take lessons for it. And then I started seeing and feeling things in the body that were very, very interesting. There was a patient in my office that was sent here, had been to Hopkins, Emory, and Mayo Clinic with seizures that nobody could ever figure out. And I walk in the room and I say to him, "How many bottles of Diet Coke do you drink every day?" And he says, "A liter." I said, "Stop it." And that was the only thing he had to do. His seizures became, you know, they were from aspartame, and they came under control with no treatment. And he was on like 5 different seizure medicines, and they were working. So, you know, so basically people get here. A lot of people get referred here by the CDC, oddly enough. I used to be their doctor, the referring doctor for infections and hand surgery, because their clinic doctor really liked me. And so I got known in the CDC, and they've referred a lot of people here with unknown mystery diagnoses just to figure out what's going on. So I'm surprised we didn't know about each other. You know, it's very odd, isn't it?
You know, I've been like, very quiet about what I do for years.
Yeah.
The only reason why doctors even know about me is because their patients would talk about me. You know, when they go back to see their doctor, mm-hmm. they said, "Yeah, I saw Marilyn, and she told me this, and I got tested for this, and now I'm well."
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, things like that. You know, otherwise, I was pretty quiet about it, even with my clients. You know, I just told them, "This is what I'm, you know, sensing in your body. This is what I'm seeing mm-hmm. in your body." I didn't go into any great deal detail of how I do that or
right. yeah.
you know, anything else. And you know, it's just recently that I don't know, people are coming out of the woodwork and
yeah.
and wanting to talk to me about, you know, the things that I'm able to do. So
anyway, yeah, I gave it I gave a talk at the Global Humanitarian Summit at Emory on controlling healthcare costs. Mm-hmm. And a very, very important part of this is the use of medical intuition, because, you know, I see patients all the time, and I'm sure you do too, where $10,000 worth of negative testing has been done, and
yeah.
we simply can't afford this anymore.
Yeah.
We have to be using medical intuitives to narrow the areas where we need to test. We still need to test. I mean, if you see Lyme's, we still need to do the testing to show that Lyme's exist. And sometimes that's hard. You know, sometimes not the
mm-hmm.
test for Lyme's can be positive or not be very positive or even be negative. But in order to control healthcare costs in the big picture, and then there's some other, it's a whole lecture about a whole bunch of different things you have to do that. But the primary diagnostic tool that needs to be used is medical intuition. I think it's incredibly important to control healthcare costs.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it would save a lot of time and money, and you know, for many, many people, and for doctors too.
Oh yeah, I mean, doctors spend an awful lot of time ruling things out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I know very, very excellent doctors who are themselves medical intuitives. I worked with a general surgeon, and one time he said, I had a patient with tubercular peritonitis. And I said, Don, have you ever seen tubercular peritonitis? He said, nope. And I said, well, how did you know he had it? He said, I don't know. But he did the biopsy and they had it. You know, he just knew they had it. Isn't that great? So, you know. But they're just really, really good surgeons, you know. And mm-hmm. the thing that makes a great surgeon is this medical intuitive ability.
Yeah.
It really does. I mean, that really puts them apart from someone who's just very intelligent and very talented, you know, technically.
Mm-hmm.
is the intuition part, because nerves are not always where we think they are. They can
mm-hmm.
take a different course. And if you're going through an area that you don't think has a nerve, but it has a nerve, you can injure it. So these are very, very important things.
Yeah.
So would you like to tell the audience a little bit about how you scan the body, or do you use any particular techniques when you...
What I do is, first, when I first start working on them, I'm just sending love and healing light through their body, and
mm-hmm.
then and chi energy, and I check their hara and their hara line. There's like a chi energy, or that universal life force, that just runs through the body, and I can actually see it, and it's like a cylinder shape that I see, and you know, I check the chi first and see if there's any weak areas in their chi, then I know something's going on with that part of their body. And in the hara, it's H-A-R-A, where we actually store chi. There's a storage tank for chi too that should be a silver brilliant, silver white ball of light, and it has a certain tone to it that I can hear. So I check those things first, and then
mm-hmm.
I get a holographic image. If I want to do a quick scan without having to go through all of their veins and their arteries and their organs, there's a holographic image that just appears in front of me, and it's about a foot tall, rotates. It's the body. It's their body, mm-hmm. and it rotates, and the first thing I check is what I call their energetic grid. It's these blue, like these brilliant electric blue lines that form around their body. And I check that first to see if there's anything unusual with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll just go and check all the different systems of the body, you know, like the skeletal system and, you know, mm-hmm. all the different systems. To do a quick scan to see if I see anything, and it usually stands out as red to me in an area. And mm-hmm. if that's the case, then I zoom into their body in that area and start scanning. And I don't always do that, but, you know, if they have a lot of issues, then I'll do that first. But I have the ability to just go inside the body. I'm like an arthroscope. I can go through a person's veins and arteries, and and I'm like a microscope. I can look inside their cells. I can see their DNA. And, you know, I can see bacteria and viruses and cells. I'm like an MRI where I can go layer by layer in a person's body, including their brain. So I just, you know, I telepath with organs. It's a mind-to-mind communication. And organs are living individual entities. This is what I've discovered, as you know, by doing this, that they're very emotional, and they talk to me. Not all organs talk to me, but most of them do. And they'll tell me, you know, what a person, what my client is doing that's causing their stress, or I'll get a vision of it. And that's another way that I find out things. If it's not something that's you know, a physiological cause, and the root cause is a mental, emotional cause, like childhood trauma, child abuse, sexual abuse, all of those things cause great trauma and cause disease later on. And so if something has, you know, the root cause is mental, emotional, then I get a vision, and I actually see what happened in their past. That's you know, causing the dominoes to fall. And
do you do most of this work remotely, over the phone, or?
I can do it. Yes, I can. I have international clients, so if we speak the same language, then you know, there's so many English speaking countries too. We'll email each other because usually the, you know, our accents over the phone just don't work. So we'll email each other, and, you know, they'll tell me all of their symptoms and, you know, what they've done so far to kind of help narrow down the field, so I'm not searching blindly for everything. And then I do their session remotely. And after that, they I'll send them an email with my report of findings, and you know, tell them what their next step should be, and what you know, what type of doctor they should seek out, and that sort of thing. What kind of specialist you know, they should seek out. If they're fairly local, I do have doctor connections in other states in the United States, so. If they're fairly local, I can steer them in the right direction, especially like for Lyme literate MDs. I've had a lot of Lyme cases in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's the great mimicker. It's like
the great imposter.
There's neurological Lymes, there's arthritic Lymes, there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, I treat hundreds of Lyme's patients here.
Yeah, and now they're even discovering, I forgot the doctor's name, but he discovered that even Parkinson's and MS could actually just be symptoms of Lyme disease, the symptoms that they're going
through. He didn't discover it. Dr. Lydia Matman discovered it. I interviewed her on my radio show about 10 years ago. She's the author of Cell Wall Deficient Forms, and she discovered 36 patients with the same intracellular spirochete with MS, but the federal government gave her a court order not to tell doctors.
Oh,
yep.
My gosh.
So there, you know, we talk a lot on this show about the political problems that we have. And since mycoplasma is the basis of our biological warfare system, I've interviewed Dr. Garth Nicholson many times on this show. He discovered Gulf War and the weaponized mycoplasma. Of course, he had 4 assassination attempts on his life. as well for bringing that information out. I mean, they really try to shut the doctors up. And but I interview them all on the radio show, and they talk, so it's kind of interesting. I mean, sometimes we get cut off. I mean, the radio, when we were doing it at the radio station, the first time I interviewed Garth, all the telephone lines went out, and that's never happened.
Wow.
He said it happens to him all the time. So this information, they don't want this information out. So, but basically, my patients come here with the weaponized mycoplasma. You've got to get the immune system back, because the immune system is what is, you know, what prevents all of these infections. So it's not enough just to treat the intracellular infection.
Mm-hmm.
You have to determine why the patient got it. And the radio show has been a great source of information. Also, ALS is an intracellular spirochete, and there are cures of ALS. And most autoimmune disease is either intracellular mycoplasma or intracellular spirochetes or chemical toxicity. Lupus,
mm-hmm.
for example, is mostly chemical toxicity, and if we do detox, they come around very nicely. So the true cause of disease is really not understood in traditional medicine.
Yeah.
For most of these illnesses, but we've here at Millennium, we have Dr. Brad Gould, who's a family practice doctor, and myself working on this. And we've discovered a lot
over the last
20 years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, Dr. Brad Gould is my doctor.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
That's great. I didn't know that. That's wonderful. Well, you would have seen my stuff in the waiting room, all the articles of the breast implant stuff. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we are connected then. We just didn't know it.
Yep.
So what does cancer look like to you?
Oh, my gosh. It depends. It depends on what kind of cancer it is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of people that come to me with cancer. I am working with a woman right now who has mm-hmm. cancer, and she had cancer of her ovaries. She had her ovaries removed, went through chemo mm-hmm. and radiation. This is all before she was introduced to me by a doctor, and then it spread, and it spread through her abdominal area, and in that case, what I saw in her were like these little, almost whitish, shiny, round nodules is the only way I know how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was working on just trying to shrivel them up and shrink them and dry them up and just have them dissipate.
Well, can I give you just a little bit of information that might help you when you see this the next time?
Sure, yeah.
Because it's very interesting. Let me tell a short story. I was at my mother's funeral, and I looked across the kitchen at my brother, and I saw this big, it's kind of a grayish hole in his aura.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that was cancer. But I don't just tell people they have cancer. I have to get permission,
right.
As you do. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we can explain that to the listening audience before, but we can't just go blurting out what we see.
Right.
So I asked, and I was told, no, I can't tell them. So I didn't, and then that was in 2010, and I've since told him this, so I'm not saying anything that I haven't told him. Then he was running, and he was like 70 years old, but he's in great shape. He's running, and he ruptures a disc, and when they do the scan, they find out he has kidney cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And they got the kidney out, and it's fine, and he doesn't need chemo, and you know, so everything has a happy ending. But I thought I made a mistake. You know, I thought, well, maybe I should have told him. I didn't hear right. And the information I got through other clairvoyants is, no, when you saw it, there was no physical cancer there. So cancer shows up years prior to being physical in the energy field. And it actually is a fourth dimensional intrusion, an energy that comes from the fourth dimension and intrudes into an organ. It's organ-based. So like if it's lymphoma, it's lymphatic. If it's leukemia, it's blood. But it's all organ-based. It goes to the organ of weakest energy. And my brother, I found out he had his office desk on a geopathic stress line, which, of course, predisposes to cancer. And then he also had some relationship issues, which are always cancer, of the kidney. Relationship is cancer of the kidney, and nurturing is the breast. You know, each organ has a thing. So it would be emotional, primary, with geopathic stress, secondary. And that was it. He didn't have any toxic chemical. He didn't have radiation. He didn't have generational curse. He didn't have any of the infectious, you know, infectious things or dental issues. You know, if you have a root canal with problems on the breast meridian, you can get breast cancer. So, you know, you've got to know the cause of cancer, which we work on here. We've had a cancer center here since 1999. We work with Dr. Bergeron. You may have heard of him. He's really good.
Yeah, Rhett Bergeron. Yes,
right.
I'm very familiar with Rhett.
Yeah, we started it together, but then he left. But we worked together all the time with that. But so take a. Sometimes you might see it without it being in the physical. So ask, you know, always ask about that, because you could like not. They could go for testing and it would be negative, because you know you're going to see it well before our test can detect it.
Yeah.
Which you know, you might not have known. You know, it's.
Yeah. Well, I
didn't know it until it happened to my brother. I mean, I had no idea.
Yeah, there was one time that I did see that a woman had, you know, it appeared to me as breast cancer, and I told her she should go see a doctor. You know, and she had no idea. But I don't have a lot of cancer. You know, clients that, but I'll be more aware of that and scan for that as well. I've dealt with a lot of ulcerative colitis, PNH, which is the rare form of bone marrow cancer, Lyme disease, Crohn's disease, liver failure.
Crohn's is another one. Crohn's can be difficult to diagnose in the undiagnosed patient. That's one that is, you know.
Yeah. And I've worked with sensory integrative dysfunction with children. And I could actually see in the brain where a synapsis wasn't connecting. The dendrites weren't quite completely formed. I've had three cases of children, and it was all in the same area in their brain.
You know the cause of that?
No, I just worked on their... Parents brought them in because they had sensory integrative dysfunction, so I just worked on them, you know, to help heal that. In fact, there was, you know, one little boy whose mother, he was 9 years old, and she was desperate because her son had, you know, he couldn't function in school. Her son couldn't function. And she had him on all different kinds of meds, all different doctors, and nothing was working. He was my very first client that, you know, I had with sensory integrative dysfunction, and I saw an area in his brain in the back of his head, and these points just light up for me, energetic points to work on. They just light up. And, you know, I could see where the dendrites weren't completely formed. There was no synapses occurring in one area. And... anyway, and he couldn't sit still. He was jittery. He actually sat up on my massage table instead of laying down. I had him bring toys in, you know, to keep him occupied.
Yeah,
and he was just like, you know, a jittery bundle of nerves, constantly just, you know, moving, twitching. And after a few sessions of working on those specific points on the back of his head and, you know, trying to get the synapses to occur and the dendrites to grow, I saw that they did start growing, and once that happened, everything changed for him. His grades went from D's and F's to A's and B's. He was able to, you know, he had simple, he was in a special class. He had simple 10 words for spelling test, you know, for, and his mother was frustrated because she would spend 3 or 4 hours with him, sitting with him to learn those words, and he would still barely pass.
Yeah.
And then he was able to study on his own in 30 minutes, learn those words, and he was doing great. You know, he was getting A's, and his teacher was just thrilled. She said, "What are you doing?" And you know, so that's just one, you know, one case of sensory integrative mm-hmm. dysfunction that I've worked with. I do want to tell you about a client that I had that was a pretty interesting case, because she also had been to many doctors and nobody could find out what was wrong with her. So finally she went to Dr. Luttrell, who referred, Mike Luttrell, who referred her to me. Mm-hmm. And she was a young woman. She had many health issues, and at 40 years old, she had two total hip replacements. Her joints just literally crumbled. She had chronic bladder infections, allergies, chronic fatigue, headaches, brain fog, pain in all of her joints, strange taste in her mouth, thyroid issues. She had an enlarged liver.
Sounds like my typical patient with silicone toxicity.
Really?
And their teeth fall out.
She didn't have implants, though.
Yeah, but, you know, she could still have silicone toxicity. You can get exposed to silicone through all sorts of other things.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I found is the root cause.
Okay.
She also had a non-functioning pancreas, and
yeah.
she had cancer that was in remission when she saw me, mm-hmm. but she was, you know, just really sick. And this one was when Dr. Luttrell was the chief of surgery at Northside mm-hmm. Cherokee Hospital. He's the one who referred her, and I received a vision that she was standing on her front lawn when she was a teenager. She was around 15 or 16 years old, and mm-hmm. a chemical fog drifted through the air, and the chemicals
right.
were on her skin, and she inhaled them. Mm-hmm. Excuse me a second. I got to get a drink of water. So when I asked her if she remembered anything like that, she told me she did remember standing on her front lawn when she was 15, mm-hmm. and a mosquito truck was driving by, fogging
right.
the air with insecticide.
Yeah.
She and her girlfriends ran through the fog, and, you know, so she had a very high dosage of toxic chemicals polluting her body. And
yeah. Well, that's why she
I
has
also
the same symptoms. You know, the symptoms are the same with any massive chemical toxicity. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I also saw that she had quite a bit of candida in
mm-hmm.
her intestines, and she had some yep. sort of virus in her cells. I wasn't familiar with that
right.
virus. So she saw, I actually sent her to Dr. Bergeron,
mm-hmm.
and he gave her a series of blood tests and other tests, and the tests verified that she had a strong
right.
sensitivity to the pesticides. She had
yep.
a lot of heavy metals in her system. She had copper,
yep.
cadmium, aluminum, mercury, and other chemicals, other heavy metals, I'm sorry. And he found candida as well, and
mm-hmm.
he found a monovirus. So it was a monovirus.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know she had mono when she was a baby.
Right.
So after he put her on a, you know, pretty heavy detox program, she
mm-hmm.
finally began to heal.
Right.
And, you know, she was thrilled about that. But
yeah, well, that's true. Now, that type of chemical exposure is very common in terms of causing massive, I mean, they have 30 different symptoms, and a regular doctor just doesn't have any clue where to begin.
Yeah.
And cancer can occur. I mean, the toxic chemicals, the silicone toxic patients have a high rate of cancer, not necessarily of the breast, but of lung, brain, colon, pancreas, you know, so
mm-hmm.
carcinogenic problems are very high. I would imagine she also had a detoxification defect, like MTHFR as well. on top of that. It sounds like she wasn't able to detoxify chemicals because a heavy metal load, anybody with high heavy metals probably has MTHFR or one of the other detoxification defects.
Yeah,
so that's important to diagnose because you can treat that. You can give MSM, methyl B12, and folate, and then put them on a regular detox program, you know, rather than a emergency detox program.
Yeah.
But once they start to go down the tubes.
I have a question for you, Dr. Kolb. Mm-hmm. I know that you're a plastic surgeon, but do you also treat patients? Would I be able to refer my clients to you as well for different things?
Yes. I have my boards in integrative holistic medicine.
Okay.
But it kind of depends on what, you know, like for cancer, both Dr. Gould and I, Dr. Gould trained with Dr. Bergeron, of course. So Dr. Gould treats what I treat, but we have similar ways of treating it. We're trying to determine the cause of the cancer and treat that.
Uh-huh.
So we use applied kinesiology to go through that list of things that I told you before. We have the ability here to remove the generational curse, which is very important, through a spiritual group that meets every Sunday. And if you would ever like to come to that group, you're very welcome to.
Okay,
it meets at
thank you. 8 o'clock.
Yeah. So we have the ability to remove that and then, of course, treat all the other things. What I want to emphasize to the listening audience is you have to know the cause of these things. It's not just enough to... I mean, if you understand the cause of a disease, then you can start to treat it. And that's why medical intuition is so important, because medical intuitives actually get to the cause.
Instead of just treating the symptoms.
Exactly. And so, you know, both Dr. Gould, what I'm trying to say is Dr. Gould is a family practice doctor, so there may be cases that he needs to see, because they might need antihypertensives or, you know, if they need traditional medicine. I'm not an expert in treating hypertension with regular antihypertensive drugs, because back 30 years ago when I was in doing that, they don't make those drugs anymore. You know, they have a whole new class of drugs. So if somebody had hypertension, they should go to him, because he can do the detox to treat the mercury, which is very important. But they may also need antihypertensive meds. Same with diabetes, you know. He's got the ability to manage all of the things with diabetes, whereas with me, I'm just not as familiar with it. But what I do very well is the chronic illnesses, the immune deficits, the intracellular infections. But he does that as well. I mean, we both do. But I think that some people need more, you know, the traditional medicine until we figure out what's going on with them and can treat the cause.
Right.
And so, you know, referring to him or Dr. Bergeron if they have cancer, you know, is good. So, but certainly anybody has breast implant problems or just regular Lyme's disease and I'm on certain insurances that, you know, you'd want to find a doctor on their insurance to treat them. And that's why Dr. Gould's so great, is that he takes most insurances.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of holistic doctors don't take insurance, and we really try to take the insurance that the patient has. I'm not on all insurances, though. Yeah. So it depends. Like insurance, it would be an important issue.
Yeah. I have a question. I have a question for you, Dr. Kolb. fibromyalgia. What is your opinion of fibromyalgia?
Yeah, I've been studying that for 25 years, and I have fibromyalgia, so I've been very, very, educated, not only because I see thousands of patients with it, but I have it. Fibromyalgia is either chemical toxicity leading to biotoxicity, so that would be... That would mean patients with detoxification defects or the inability to get rid of the biotoxin from mold. So we're talking yeast and mold biotoxins. Yeast can be from, you know, too much stress, too many antibiotics, too many chemicals, like the massive chemical toxicity that your patient had, my patients have. They all have, 100% of them have yeast infections. Chemotherapy, they get yeast, of course. So yeast and mold in the patient because of an immune deficiency or a biotoxin disease, 25% of the patients can't get rid of the biotoxin produced by mold. So if they get mold in their sinuses, mold in their gut, if they eat bread with mold on it, if they go into a building that's sick and they breathe the biotoxin in, they may not have mold in their body, but they breathe the biotoxin in, they get fibromyalgia. Now, the other big class of fibromyalgia is intracellular mycoplasma. There are probably 15 different kinds of mycoplasma. So it's very, very difficult to test for them all. The weaponized mycoplasma that makes people deathly ill is called Mycoplasma fermentans. And I would refer people to Dr. Garth Nicholson's book, Project Daylily, to read about that one. Daylily, it looks like a daylily under the microscope. That's why it's called that. Mm-hmm. He's the expert in the world on that. And I've seen quite a few patients with Mycoplasma fermentans. They're deathly ill. But, okay. You know, it's treatable. It's treatable like you treat Lyme's.
Uh-huh.
You treat
and what is his name again?
Dr. Garth Nicholson, Nicolson.
Okay.
He was a cancer researcher at MD Anderson. His wife went to Hopkins with me. She is actually the physicist that discovered the PCR DNA by PCR test. She developed it that detects intracellular bacteria.
Okay. So, and where is he located?
They're in California.
California. Okay.
Yeah, they have a lab. Well, they have a if we'll just go to his website, which is www.immed.org.
What was it?
IMMED, I believe. I might be misremembering. Now, you can just Google Garth Nicholson. But he discovered the cause of the Gulf War syndrome. He discovered that one half of rheumatoid arthritis patients have an intracellular mycoplasma. Probably the rest of them have intracellular spirochetes. But he discovered all of this. He's a researcher. He's a PhD, not an MD. But he's discovered the cause of intracellular spirochetes and all these neurodegenerative diseases. And he knows Dr. Lydia Mattman personally. He knows all about what she found. And he's a wealth of information. And
okay.
But many of the chronic fatiguing illnesses are intracellular infections that wipe out the T-cell immunity. And they are the basis of our biological warfare system, so that's the, you know, that's why no research will ever be done on them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
And you'll probably see, like if you see fibromyalgia or rheumatoid arthritis, take a look inside the cell for the intracellular mycoplasma.
Okay.
You know, you'll be able to see it. And I want to explain to the listening audience, autoimmune disease, traditional medicine thinks autoimmune disease is the body attacking healthy cells. That's crap. The body's attacking cells that have mycoplasma in them. And mycoplasma only puts the receptors on the cells intermittently. That's why it's a recurring disease, like it happens every few months. When the receptors are abnormal from the mycoplasma, putting them on the surface of the cell, that's when the body attacks it. You see? The body's not attacking healthy cells. That's a myth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, traditional doctors aren't going to know anything about even the existence of intracellular infection. And, you know, for a long time, Lyme doctors were persecuted by medical boards, especially in Maryland and Texas, because the powers that be did not want people to be treating this. You know, that was, they wanted these people to be untreated. So.
Yeah, it's a real shame.
It is, because those doctors were just, some of them lost their medical license.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible for people who are on the cutting edge of treating these difficult diseases. Now, Georgia has a right to treat law. So Dr. Bergeron and Dr. Gould and I are protected. If we're treating a life-threatening illness, which almost all of these are, and we have scientific basis to back us up, which we do, we cannot lose our medical license. So that's very, and I think
that's interesting.
Eight states used to have it. I'm sure more states, back when I was giving lectures on this, eight states had the right to treat law, but that was like 10 years ago. So I'm sure more states have that now.
Mm-hmm.
So that law protects the doctors who are helping patients.
Yeah.
From being persecuted.
That's interesting.
Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour, Marilyn. Would you like to give your contact information again?
My website, everything is on my website. And
okay.
All testimonials, I have a testimonial from Dr. Mike Luttrell. There's a video testimonial plus a written testimonial. I didn't expect mm-hmm. him and my clients to write such lengthy testimonials about me. So, you know, there's quite a bit to look at. And mm-hmm. my bio is on there. And it's lighthealer.net, lighthealer.net. And that's also my email address is marilyn@lighthealer.net. It's all on my website. So, you know, people
right.
can get an idea of, you know, the types of clients I've had in the past, what I've worked with, what I do, and how I do it, and, you know, read some of the testimonials, and I have articles on there that I've written.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best information I can give.
Well,
they
great.
Can find anything
well,
that they're looking for about me on my website.
I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to emphasize to the listening audience that medical intuition is one piece of the future of medicine, of the future of healthcare. And it has to be, because these are enhanced perceptual gifts that some of us have now, but many of us will have in the future. And most mothers know when something's wrong with their child. And sometimes they know in great detail what's wrong with their child, you know, like if they ate something or got exposed to something they shouldn't have. So, you know, these are gifts that we've had for millennia, and that they're gifts that can be developed. And, you know, we need to gain control of healthcare costs. I don't know if you saw it, Marilyn, but the Senate tried to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act. You know, President, I think they did repeal it. I mean, but President Obama is going to veto it. But the idea here is that healthcare is such a political problem in the U.S. because of the cost of healthcare. If healthcare was reasonably priced, it wouldn't be a political issue. We wouldn't see all this in the news, these fights between the Democrats and Republicans. We need to control healthcare costs. And the cost of a medical intuitive session is well worth anything. I mean, it's well worth the normal rates that medical intuitives charge, because it's a wealth of information. And I really applaud the doctors at Cherokee Northside, and my partner, Dr. Gordon, used to be there, so he knows these doctors. And they are a little bit more advanced than some of the other hospitals around. But this is the key to controlling healthcare costs, and it's all very well and good to make fun of this kind of thing, and many people have made fun of me for years because I do this, but this truly is the future of healthcare, and that's why we need to keep going on with it despite people who don't understand what's going on, who don't understand that it's simply a higher perspective in terms of the realities that can be perceived. And that's what I wanted to emphasize, that some people have perceptive abilities that are reproducible. You know, they're not something that is not able to be reproduced and tested and qualitatively looked at. And that's why I'm interested in medical intuition and using it to control healthcare costs, because I know that it can. So thank you very much, Marilyn.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Kolb. I really appreciate it. It was great talking to you, and I've learned some things, which is absolutely wonderful.
Well, I hope to, you know, talk with you again. Maybe we can connect, you know, outside of this. And I would like to invite you to do Noetic Science. For the listening audience, we who are here in Georgia, we do Noetic Science every, it's a third Thursday of every month other than in December. People are too busy in December, so we don't do it then.
Okay,
and
third
we have,
Thursday?
Yeah.
Of every month,
Thursday.
What time?
At about the speaker gets here about 7, and the people attending the meeting get here about 7:15 to 7:30. And it's at the Dunwoody office. So
okay.
Yeah, so I'll send you an email about that, and you can talk to the people here who schedule that. That'd be great.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, we've been interviewing Marilyn Kramer, Medical Intuitive Abilities and the Healing Power of Love. If you are subscribed to our newsletter, you can find out when she's coming for Noetic Science. And the medical intuitives that have been here, always it's always a great Noetic Science, because most of us have health issues that medical intuitives can help us with. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.